Have you ever stayed up all night to pray about something? Is there anything important enough in your life that it's worth staying up all night to pray about? No. You see, prayer reveals what's important to you. If it's important, you're going to pray about it. And if it's really, really, really important, you're going to really, really pray about it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Just ask for the Unshakable DVD study kit when you contact us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When You're Asked to Do the Impossible.
The 7th thing he does after he has prayed this prayer is he's now going to go back and give the solution. But I want you to write this down. The 7th thing is this, very important. Use what God shows me to save others. Use what God shows me. Use what God gives me. Use what God blesses me with to save others. God wants to save you from your impossible situation, but he doesn't want to do just that. He wants to save other people. God doesn't want to just save you. God wants to save the whole world. God wants to save your family. God wants to save your friends. God wants to save the people you work with. God wants to save your enemies. Yep, because God has never made a person he doesn't love. God wants to save your competitors. God is not discriminating in any sense over sex or race or anything like that. He says, I want to save everybody. God so loved the world, not just a few people. God so loved the world. And so he's going to say, now I'm going to save you, Daniel, but I want you, what I've just given you, to use it to save a bunch of other people too, because I care about them just as much. So, in Daniel 2, verse 24, it says this. Then, after he finished praying, gets up the next morning, Daniel rushed to see Arioch, the captain of the guard, palace guard, who had been ordered to execute all the king's advisors. And I imagine him running into the palace and saying, Daniel said, call off the execution. I mean, can't you just see this? He runs in and call off the, I got it. Last night, I'm praying. I was up all night. God not only told me what the dream is, but told me the meaning of it. Get me to the king. I know how to do this. I got this. Call off the execution. Can you see how Daniel's life would make an incredible movie? I mean, just this one scene. This is just one of 9 tests in his life. I don't know why Hollywood has never, they may always make Noah and Moses and Abraham and David. And Jesus. Nobody's ever made a movie on Daniel. This guy, it's filled with intrigue. You see him running in the palace, goes, call off the execution, last minute saving. Okay, halt it all. I got it. I got the dream. I know what it's all about. God is not just interested in saving you. He wants to save others too. This is called witnessing. He wants everybody saved. He wants everybody knowing him. He wants everybody to know his purpose for their life. And as long as there's one person who doesn't know Christ, we're going to keep reaching out. And it doesn't mean if we have to do 50,000 services, we will do 50,000 services. Because God says, I want you to use what God shows you to save others. I pray this prayer every week. I prayed it this morning. God, show me what will save some of you. I pray it every week. The reason why this church grows is because every pastor at this church, when they're getting ready to teach, is saying, God, show me something that's going to save other people. Save them from disaster. Save them from problems. Save them from defeat. Save them from conflict. Save them from... God, show me something to save others. God wants to show you stuff, not just for your benefit, but so you can save other people. That's your witness. That's your mission in the world. Now, he runs into the palace, and here's how the story continues. Verse 25. So then Arioch rushed Daniel to the king, and he said, King, I have found one of the cap. He didn't find him. He's claiming credit. Arioch didn't. Daniel found him. He's buttering up the king. I have found one of the captives from Judah, the POWs, who can tell you your dream and the meaning of it. And the king looks at this 17-year-old Jewish kid and goes, is it true? I mean, can you do this? Are you putting me on? You pulling my leg? Can you tell me my dream? That nobody else could do it? And also what it means? So there's a reason to be skeptical here. Can you do this? All right? Now, Daniel's reply to the king's question gives us the eighth step. And I want you to write this down. When you're in a crisis and you're praying and you're asking God to give you supernatural help, when you get the answer, you point people to God. Point people to God. Don't take the credit for yourself because you didn't think up the solution. God gave it to you. And so God says, okay, I'm going to give you the solution. I want to get the credit for it. I want the glory to go to me, not to you. And this is exactly what Daniel does. He gives God all the credit. And so here's what Daniel says to the most powerful man in the world at that time, the king of the Babylonian Empire. Verse 27, Daniel replied, okay, king, no wise man, no psychic, no fortune teller, no astrologer could possibly explain the mystery of your dream. So what I'm about to tell you isn't coming from man. I didn't think it up. They couldn't think it up. It was given to me by God. He says, no man could solve this impossible problem you've given. But the next line is, I think, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. And it says this, but there is a God in heaven. I am so grateful for that verse. There is a God in heaven. Things may be falling apart in your life. There is a God in heaven. Your dream may be on the skids, but there is a God in heaven. You may be up to your eyeballs in alligators, but there is a God in heaven. You may be going down for the last time, and the weeds are pulling you down, and you're in deep guacamole. But there is a God in heaven. And that is what gives the world hope. Because God can do what none of us can do. None of these people could solve your problem, King. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has chosen to show you, Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen in the future. I don't know why, but he's chosen to show you what's going to happen in the future. And now, God has revealed this mystery to me. Now, not because I'm cool or I'm any better than anybody else. He says, not because I'm smarter than everybody else, because he said, I'm not. I'm a 17-year-old prisoner of war being trained by you to be an advisor. God has revealed this mystery to me, not because I'm smarter, but for your benefit, King. You can say this to your boss. So that, you, O king, may understand. God is not interested in just Daniel. He's interested in Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king. What a bold witness this kid has done here. And at 17 years old, he doesn't take the credit. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been 17 and all of a sudden I got the answer that's going to save hundreds of lives and make the king really, really happy, I'd probably want to take at least a little credit for it. I might say, you know, last night I was praying, and God gave me the answer, but it's because I was praying. And God gave the answer, but it's because I was listening, and I would have liked to take the credit, at least a little bit of it, for myself. But what does Daniel do? He points people to God. And if you'll do that, God will bless your life in ways you cannot possibly imagine. If you will always point the credit back to God, God can do great things through the person who doesn't care who gets the credit. God can do great things through the person who says, I'm going to point it back to God. Yeah, God used me, but it's all about God. It's not about you. You ever heard that line anywhere? It's not about you. It's all about God. What a bold witness. He points to God. This is true evangelism. The word evangelism simply means sharing good news in Greek. Evangel is good news. Evangelism is sharing good news. This is what it means for you to be an evangelist. This is a true evangelism. He's sharing the good news here, and he's just pointing to God. That is what you're to do the rest of your life. You are to point people to God. You're in Starbucks, point people to God. You're in the military, point people to God. You're on the work site, point people to God. You're with a bunch of mothers of preschoolers, point people to God. You're in the hospital, point the staff to God. That's your cause. And if God gives you any degree of success in your life, God has given you that degree of success to give you a platform to point people to God. And I want to tell you from personal experience, the more you point people to God, the bigger God will build your platform. The more you point people to God, the more God will build your platform, and you will have influence you never thought possible. Now, these are the eight things he did. Now he shares the vision or the dream. I don't have time to really go into this, so let me summarize the next 16 or so verses. Daniel says, okay, King, I got this. God gave it to me. And so first, let me tell you your dream. He said, in your dream, you saw a giant statue of a man, and it was very frightening. And the head was made out of gold, and the upper body was made out of silver, and the midpoint, the belly and the torso, thighs, was made out of bronze, and the feet of the legs of the statue were made out of iron, and the feet were made out of clay mixed with iron. Nebuchadnezzar goes, you got it right, buddy. That's exactly right. He said, but that's not all you dreamed. He said, then in your dream, you saw this giant rock, this giant boulder cut from a mountain by supernatural means, and all of a sudden, it is hurled at that statue. And it hits the feet that are iron and clay mixed together. And it shatters the feet, and the whole statue falls over. And Nebuchadnezzar, you got that right, man. This is amazing. You're telling me my dream. And he said, and then when the statue falls over, it breaks into smithereens, into 1,000 pieces, and the wind comes along and blows it all away. And he said, now, then that rock that was there that knocked the statue down becomes a great mountain, and that mountain covers the whole earth. Nebuchadnezzar goes, kid, you nailed it. That's my dream. This happened 2,500 years ago, King Nebuchadnezzar. You nailed it. He goes, okay, now I'm going to tell you the meaning of it. God was showing you the future of the world, and he was showing you the empires that are going to come after you. He said, you know, the gold head? He goes, that's you. That's the Babylonian Empire. It's a big empire, most powerful in the nation at this time. And he said, the one that's going to come after you is the silver. That's the Persian Empire. The Medes and the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. But it's not going to be, silver isn't as good as gold, so it's not going to be as strong as your empire was. And he said, then after that, he said, then you're going to have the bronze. And he goes, this is the third empire. He's talking about Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. He's predicting it hundreds of years in advance. And then he says, but that one's going to be then replaced by the Iron Empire. And iron is the strongest of all. That's the Roman Empire. He goes, it's going to be bigger than all the ones, including yours. And then he said, but then the feet are iron and clay mixed together. And he said, that's because that empire is going to eventually start crumbling like the Roman Empire did, because clay and iron don't mix together. And some parts of the kingdom be very strong like iron, and some parts will be very weak like clay, and they don't mix and match, and that king empire is going to fall apart too. But he said, here's the big key. That rock that turns into a mountain, that covers the whole earth, that's the ultimate empire. That's God's empire. That's called the kingdom of God. And one day, God is going to establish his kingdom. And all the man-made empires of the world are going to crash and burn and crumble and blow off like dust. And it is only God's kingdom that will never be destroyed, that is going to cover everything, and nobody's going to conquer it, and it's going to last forever, and that's how history is going to end, and God has chosen to let you know that. Wow, what a witness. He said, nothing's going to keep this from happening. Now, what is Nebuchadnezzar's response to Daniel when he gives him the dream and the interpretation? Here's how the story ends, verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar bowed to the ground before Daniel. This is the king, most powerful man in the world, bowing before a 17-year-old teenager. Bows to the ground before Daniel and worshiped him. Got that one wrong. Daniel wasn't God. And he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. So he still doesn't get it. I mean, he's still a pagan god, king. But he does get some right. And then he says, then the king said to Daniel, truly, your God is the God of gods. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. All these other fake, phony gods. Your God is the God of gods, the Lord over kings, including me. He is a revealer of mysteries. Obviously, he told you because you could have never figured out my dream on your own. For you have been able to reveal this secret. That's quite a testimony from a pagan king. Who's getting honored here? God's getting honored. So, you know, okay, I don't know how you did it, but your God's the real deal. He's the true God. He's the God, and this king needs to honor him. Then Nebuchadnezzar gives Daniel a greater position. He gives him a promotion, and he gives him all kinds of possessions. And here's how the story ends. Then the king promoted Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. Now, he made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Are you kidding me? This kid's 17 years old, and he's the mayor of Babylon. What's going on here? This is called a promotion. Every time you pass the test, God makes sure you get promoted. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as the chief over all his wise men. You know all those folk fakes and phony psychics? You're now in charge of them. I'm sure Daniel's going, thanks, but no thanks. But he's now chief over all the advisors. He's 17 years old. Now, Daniel's humble. He's thinking about his friends. And at Daniel's request, the king also appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the three musketeers, to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon while Daniel remained in the king's court. Do you see, Eli, why this would make an incredible movie? This is just one of nine incidents. You do not want to miss any in this series, because there's lessons for you. He's given a reward and greater responsibility. He's given prizes and a greater position. But he doesn't forget his friends. He brings them all along. So let me close with this. What is it that seems impossible in your life right now? What's the thing that's got you panicked? What is it that got caused you to stay awake at night? Debt? You're out of work? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to see my dream come true? When am I going to get out of school? When? And all these impossible problems are piling up against you. This is never going to work out. My marriage is never going to get any better. It's just not. Really? Really? Have you stayed up all night and prayed about it? What is it that seems impossible in your life? I got this big deal coming up, and it's such an opportunity. It's a giant contract. If I could close this sale, it would be clear sailing for the next year. But it's impossible for me to get it done in time. Have you asked God to help you out and expected him to help you out and trusted him to help you out? I'm a mother of preschoolers. I got little ones all around my feet all day. And I'm just the work never ends. And if you're a mother preschooler, you haven't slept in 6 years. And I've got so much to do, and I'm overwhelmed, and I don't even know how it's impossible to meet everybody's needs and take care of these kids. You need to do the eight things Daniel did. Let's bow our heads. Would you say, dear God, just say in your mind, I know that nobody knows the future except you. So I'm telling you right now, I'm finished, I'm done with looking for other people to show me the future. No more clairvoyance, no more astrology, no more horoscopes, no more tea leaves or Ouija boards or mediums or any of the other stuff that's out there. It's just all fake and fraud, and they don't know the future. You only know it. And Lord, you know not only the problem I'm facing right now, but you know the big one that's coming up this week, and I don't know it. And you know the even bigger one that's coming up next month. And you know the real big one that's going to come up in a year or so. So I'm not going to panic, because although I don't know it, you do. And like Daniel, I'm not going to be afraid. And when I face the problem, help me to get the facts, to learn all I can about the problem. If my boss is putting pressure on me, help me to figure out his motivation or her motivation, to ask why. There's so much fury. And then, Lord, help me to do what Daniel did, to ask for some time to consider the solution so I can spend time talking to you. And then, Lord, help me to enlist prayer support from my friends. I commit today to building a prayer team of four or five guys, if you're a guy, or four or five gals, if you're a gal, that they know I will pray for them, and I can count on them to pray for me when I need it. I'm going to build that prayer support team today. From my small group, I'm going to get in that small group. And then, Lord, when the problems come that seem to overwhelm me, help me to pray and to expect you to give supernatural help that I don't have. You said, call to me, and I'll answer you. You said, you'll show me things I could never figure out on my own. Like Daniel, I'm sorry. I have not had because I have not asked. I need wisdom, and I'm asking you, and I'm expecting you to give it to me. And Lord, help me to get my eyes off the problem that I'm facing right now and get my problem focused on you. I want to worship you. I want to praise you for who you are. You're loving, you're kind, you're gracious, you know everything. You made me for a purpose. And I want to honor you for what you've done and what you do. You help, you answer prayers. You encourage, you support, you comfort. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the times you've helped me in the past in gratitude. And I want to thank you in faith for all the times you're going to help me this week when I go back to work or school or wherever. Lord, whatever you show me, I want to use to save others. I don't want to just save myself, just my family. Help me to point people to God at the workplace. Help me to point people to God in the marketplace. Help me to point people to God on the soccer field, at the Starbucks, in the grocery store. Because, Lord, I know that if you see me caring about others, you just want to build that platform in my life even more. So use me to save others. Jesus Christ, I ask you to save me. Not just from sin, not just from hell, but I ask you to save me to be who you made me to be. Save me from myself. Save me from my habits. Save me from my hang-ups and my hurts. And I pray this in the name that is above every other name. Your name, Jesus. I pray this in your name, humbly. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD study kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want you to listen to this testimony from a listener in Monterrey, Mexico. Jonas writes, "Hi there, Pastor Rick. I'm an English teacher in Monterrey, Mexico. I listen to Daily Hope every day by podcast, and it has profoundly enriched my life. I recommend to my students to listen to it and to practice their English skills." Hey, that's a great idea. "And I know for sure that if they do, they're going to get much more than just learning English. Thank you so very much. Sincerely, Jonas." Well, thanks for writing, Jonas. My prayer is that Daily Hope will bring the hope that we find in Jesus to your students, just as we're praying that it brings hope to people all around the world. By the way, did you notice how Jonas is sharing Daily Hope podcast with his students? I think that's a great idea. My question to you is, who are you sharing the Daily Hope podcast with? Who could you tell about this good news? You know, good news is so good, we can't keep it to ourselves. You got to share it. So if you share Daily Hope with somebody else, would you let me know about it? Write me. You know the address, rick@pastorrick.com. It's just rick@pastorrick.com. And tell me your story of how you're sharing Daily Hope with other people.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.